afternoon. Today is Thursday, March the 5th, 64th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey.
Good afternoon.
You having fun?
Yeah.
I mean, you're wearing your camo gear, so it looks like you must be doing a little something out there.
Yeah, okay. Whatever you say, Brian.
Well, you know, that could also be called a uniform by some, but it looks like camo gear.
Yeah, it's a uniform. Thanks.
Yeah. This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about Measure Z, as that's continuing. What, we got a couple more weeks of meetings, and then things are supposed to come to fruition. We'll also spend a little bit of time talking about what's going on at the state. Mike had the opportunity and took it to go down into Sacramento, brave the wild lands down there.
We'll Amen. Talk.
Yeah. Talk about some of the fun that he had down there, where we had lunch, and a little bit more when we come back.
Best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Ovid. Did you ever read The Metamorphosis and mythology and some of that kind of stuff way back?
No, I'm not
in the old days.
Way back,
high school, man. I didn't read this stuff out of high school. Here's an interesting quote: "What is harder than rock, or softer than water? Yet soft water hollows out hard rock."
Interesting.
Persevere.
Wow.
Isn't that kind of a cool?
Yeah, I
like that one.
Did you just make that up?
No, I can't make that crap up. You know that. You know me far too well. That has to be plagiarized. Oh, so you allowed coming in that you guys had another Measure Z meeting.
Right.
Which I suppose is interesting that these are all happening during the daytime.
Well, yeah, I think we set our meeting schedule, and there are two meetings scheduled in April, and there'll be evening meetings, and they'll be publicized so that the public can attend. So we have made provision for two evening meetings where the public be more apt to be able to attend.
So what kind of progress is it too early to say that there's been any progress?
Well, right now, we've only had three meetings. We've gone through the process of identifying chair, co-chair. Today, we dealt with the process of setting up an application process and what that would look like. So I think we formulated that to the extent that it's ready to go out.
Like it's standardized, everybody does the same thing.
Right. And so you'll see probably in the next week or so some type of notification that the applications are available online with a drop-dead date of when they're due, and then it'll be up to the committee to review those applications. And remember, this is an advisory committee to the board. The board has the final decision.
Now, I've heard rumors that the sharks have already been circling. That have you been receiving proposals, or are they kind of tentative until there was some kind of what you guys did today, a formal process for delivery?
There have not been no proposals presented. There have been emails and information sent with entities desiring to apply. Let me put it that way.
Any of them kind of strike you as curious?
Well, curious. I don't know if curious is the right word. I think the thing we need to keep in mind, the thing I'm keeping in mind, is that Measure Z was passed with the idea that law enforcement would be enhanced at the county level. And with that, you have to understand the cities also are having to pay that same tax. Conversely, the cities also receive a lot of services from the county and from the county sheriff, such as civil process. I keep the jail. I take in the inmates that...
Are there booking fees anymore?
No, there are no more booking fees.
Those got pulled.
You know, I deal with civil service. I deal with the... I now have the coroner's office. So there are county services that go to the city that these funds will help, enhance.
Do those jurisdictions... Are they asking for additional service?
Is who asking?
Well, okay, let's say Measure Z, in a real stupid weak moment, gives 100% to the coroner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that doesn't mean that there are going to be more deaths.
No.
Or there's going to be any more workload, or.
Right.
So the fact that these jurisdictions are receiving services today, the community wouldn't see any additional benefit from dollars being earmarked to some of those areas. You willing to take that arrow, or are you going to argue that perhaps we need more badges in the field and things associated with
that? Well, you know, I've said from the beginning, you know, the voters spoke very loud with the passing of this measure that they want to see more law enforcement. But along with that, behind every new deputy I put on the street or correctional deputy I put in the correctional facility, there's support staff that goes along with that. There are other functions that the sheriff has to ensure are dealt with to keep those people on the street. You know, one of the things I'm looking at is bringing back our CSOs, like a public service officer. And their job will be, as a community services officer, and their job will be to deal with the lesser criminality type reports so that the deputies have more time on the street. I mean, they are a great tool to use.
Broken window in an apartment or in a business.
Right, that type of thing, or answering questions, or dealing with the public on the phone, or I might even utilize one to be a public information officer and also deal with those types of things that a CSO would deal with.
So non-sworn.
Yes, non-sworn, but they would wear a uniform. They would deal with certain lesser crimes or lesser style reporting functionality so that the deputy sheriff could spend more time on the street.
That's where you're coming from. The community in general certainly had its perceptions of what was going on. Public safety versus law enforcement. Do you see a distinction between the two? Do you think the community sees a distinction between the two?
Well, you're dealing with two entities that are basically the same. So, law enforcement, when you look at that's boots on the ground pretty much. Public safety encompasses a much larger package because part of that public safety partnership, obviously, is a district attorney. District attorney has to have the people to deal with the cases we bring forward for prosecution. You also, there's a strong component from the probation department. You know, Bill Damiano and his agency has to deal with the probationers. And that's even more complicated now than it has been in the past.
KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Hey, Faith, you want to hang out?
Not now. I'm filling out my FAFSA.
Your what?
It's the application for student aid, and it's my ticket to getting funding for the tech training I'm going for. Having a FAFSA on file is the gateway to getting a ton of other aid. Remember Steve? He didn't qualify for federal aid, but because he had a FAFSA on file, he got thousands of dollars from the university he went to.
Have you got more copies?
Go to decadeofdifference.org for the workshop schedule, but hurry up. The deadline's March 2nd.
It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Mike, as you look at the implementation or the potential implementation of Z, obviously things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Andy Mills and what he's doing in the city of Eureka causing significant change.
Right.
Okay, and hopefully others are going to be picking up on that. Maybe you'll be able to get some similar ordinance or something passed at the county level. The state does its stuff. When you're looking at the actual, what is he going to do? Is there enough fluff built in so that you can move that quickly? If you need to, can you?
Well, yeah, I've already started the process to be able to, you know, hire people based upon my need. You know, there's still going to be a frantic hiring process, trying to get people on and trying to get positions filled. I mean, that's always the problem when you have monies allocated to your agency is making sure you can fulfill the mandate by filling those positions. That's why I've already started to get the infrastructure in place, have lists established, so that when I know exactly what that funding is going to be, I can go ahead and fill the positions that I'm looking at filling.
Do you know what your structure is going to look like, or you, with whatever the dollar is?
Well, yeah.
Are you looking at 90%, you're going to have 10% because you know something's going to pop up and you want to be able to throw something at that and take care of it?
Well, that's a little simplistic.
I know,
but
that's where my mind is.
Yeah, I know. I know that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do based upon my projections and what I assume are going to be the funds to the sheriff's office. McKinleyville is going to become a standalone station again. Right now, they are not. I do have a lieutenant and a sergeant there, but the deputies come out of Eureka for the most part. So I want to return deputies to and make it the station have a full standalone station. I would eventually, within the next year or so, be able to do the same thing with Garberville.
Does that include an office person?
Yeah, I have an office person there now, but it's not as functional as it was in the past. But I'm slowly trying to return that to McKinleyville, and I plan on doing the same to Garberville. I do have an office person in Garberville. I do have a sergeant assigned there, but I want to have more permanent deputies assigned there and a larger number so we can fulfill those mandates to the outlying areas of the county. I want to return deputy sheriffs to the outlying areas of the county in bigger numbers.
Can you work in partnership with Brent in Redway at the CHP office for the physicalness of it so that you're not having to incur additional costs or costs that could be used somewhere else? Or are you looking to like drop it on Main Street in Garberville so that there's the badge, the cars driving through town on a more regular basis and more of the visible?
Yeah, my intent, based upon what I hear from the community, they want deputy sheriffs in the community. They want to see a patrol car, a sheriff's patrol car in a community at all hours of the day and night. That's what my constituents are telling me. I report to the voter, and the voter, who are my constituents, tell me what they want. This is what they're telling me. So my intention is to get that back out into the community where they have a visible presence from the sheriff's office, very highly visible presence.
Now, I've heard numbers getting thrown around from 6 to 8.5 million.
Right.
And I've heard that at least going in, there's kind of a consensus thought, again, this broad brush stuff, that law enforcement, not public safety, but law enforcement, would be getting about half.
Okay.
So if sales tax goes up, I'm sure you can spend the money.
Yes.
If sales tax doesn't hit those numbers and we stay in this recession, or let's say with legalization something changes significantly, do you have that flexibility with the implementation of the dollars or the application of the dollars that you're anticipating now to deal with that change in 18 months?
If it goes up or down?
Up or down.
Up or down. No, I'm asking, you know, if it goes down, it's going to be a little more problematic if I have filled those allocated positions that I'm going to ask for. You know, I have a proposal put together of what I would like to restructure the sheriff's department at about $3.5 million.
Plus, or is that the total budget?
$3.5 million. That would be what I would hope would be allocation for Measure Z.
Okay.
I could usually definitely spend more, but you know, I mean, that's just roughly what I'm working with now as a baseline. You know, I feel that I could return a great amount of services to the communities of Humboldt County with that amount. So that's what I'm basing most of my projections around.
So if it does come in a little bit higher, is that personnel, or do you think that's going to be gear?
Gear has been thrown out there, you know, stuff. by other entities that are looking at utilizing Measure Z funds. My mandate, I feel, is for personnel. I think that has been very clear that people want to see more deputy sheriffs on the street. So my priority is personnel right now. Now, if I have funds that don't necessarily have to go to personnel, that could be used for things that enhance their ability to do their job, I'll be looking at it. You know, I was in a meeting yesterday in Sacramento, a legislative meeting. We talked about body cameras.
Ah, perfect bridge, perfect tease. When we come back, guess what we're going to be talking about? Pictures of bodies in uniform. Oh, boy.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:34. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, you were beginning to allude to the state meeting that you had, or that you attended yesterday. I don't know if you hosted it or not.
Yeah,
I was there. Okay. What was cooking?
Well, it was a law enforcement legislative day in the morning, so I went there as with the California State Sheriff's Association as a member of that, and attended that till about noon, and I had called a couple days ago and set up meetings with both of our legislators, Mike McGuire and Jim Wood. So in the afternoon, I was able to stop by and meet with both of them. I meet with them on a regular basis when they come to Humboldt County, but I told both of them, I said, if I'm in Sacramento, I need to stop in and say hi to you guys and talk about our concerns here. So, one of the prevailing things, even in the legislative meeting, other agencies throughout the state and Police Officers Association, State Sheriff's Association, California Narcotics Officers Association were all there. They all talked about the marijuana issue and the impending possibility of legalization. And I told both our representatives this, legalization for the user is one thing, but my biggest problem in Humboldt County is the production end. It's not the user end, it's the production end and what it's doing to our community. So we had some pretty robust discussions about that, and they are working on some things.
Were they aware before?
I
can't see that it would be a secret to anybody.
No, I had time to meet with both of them prior to the election and, of course, immediately after. So I've made it pretty clear to them the issues we're having here, especially the environmental issues and the water issues and all those things that are going on. So, they're both engaged. They both want to make a difference. Senator McGuire is a live wire. He is
working. He's still
hard.
A supervisor, isn't he?
No.
Yeah, I mean, mentally.
Oh, yeah.
He's still
know,
coming from that position.
Maybe. I don't know. But he seems to be very engaged. And Jim Wood is also. They're both I like them both. They're both – I think they're both good representatives for our area up here.
I don't want to be blasé about it, but does it matter? We got two guys carrying this area, and you look at some of the other areas and the concentration of voting representatives from those areas.
Well,
does it really matter what our guys talk about?
I'll tell you, that's an interesting question you bring up, because not only did I stop and talk with both of them, but I stopped at the California State Sheriff's Association, talked with our lobbyists, with Warner and Pank. I also always stop at the California Cattlemen's Association because I have a large cattle constituency up here.
Not that they're serving tri-tip barbecues days.
Yeah. They weren't. When you bring up the names of our two representatives, they know who they are. They're engaged. So it's not as though they're just there in Sacramento and they're not making an impact. People know who they are. They have made themselves known. I think they're working hard for the North Coast. Of course, North Coast encompasses many counties, but they are known.
They're kind of the marijuana guys, aren't they? I mean, by default.
Okay.
I would think so. And as this thing is beginning to get closer and closer to being on the ballot, I would think that these are the two fellas that are going to be looked to from their peers to say, well, what does it mean? What are we looking? just because of the prevalence in our area and the impacts that it has
today. But we're talking about recreational usage here. We're not talking about production.
No, I'm talking about the impact of the culture.
In the area and
the manufacture part.
Right, I understand.
If it goes
from
here to Sacramento County, and they're growing in Sacramento County now, okay, well, maybe the production stuff diminishes a little bit, but they then are interested in talking to you. Okay, what are the impacts of this?
Right.
The environmental stuff
but,
that you alluded
but,
to.
But any legalization issues or decriminalization issues, let's call it that, are going to be dealing with the end user. They're still not dealing with the production.
You don't think
end.
It's going to address the other part?
No, I don't. Not if you look at the models in both Washington State and Colorado, I mean, there are some issues there with the production end. There are some restrictions put on there, but it's mainly decriminalization or for the recreational use of. So it's
purely consumption, it's not production.
Yeah, I think there are some production restrictions, but they're not that overreaching.
Okay, so now with the county prolonging for decades this general plan,
mm-hmm.
isn't part of that going to be referencing ag use and what can be used where and how and the permits associated with that? And wouldn't it get nailed on that end in Humboldt County of the entire process?
Yeah, that's a good question. You would think so. I'm not so sure. I have not been a part of the general plan per se up to this point. There are land use issues that will have to be addressed. I do have input with the board, and of course they have input with their representatives on the general plan committee. So. You know, all that is probably being forwarded back and forth, but there should be a component that deals with land use. And
Ryan's got his thing in the Willow Creek area about, you know, how much you can grow in your backyard or
right.
the equivalent of that for the small guys. But it would seem like we're set up for another train wreck if that stuff
yeah.
isn't addressed and this thing gets passed. And now everybody's going crazy.
I think they're waiting. I think everybody's waiting to see what happens. You know, it's the same thing with...
Isn't that what we do all the time and we end up picking up our teeth in the lobby and going home?
Well, to some extent. I mean, it's the same thing at the state level with 215. 19 years have been living with this thing.
Is anybody
years.
Talking about it?
Oh, they talk about it, but that's why.
Okay,
that's
is
why,
anybody doing anything after
no,
they talk about it?
No, that's why I like to go to Sacramento and talk to our legislators about that. There needs to be some legislative remedy statewide to this thing. But this is a diverse state. You've got certain counties, Fresno and Kern, to just take as an example, that zero tolerance. They don't allow any growing in their counties by board resolution. Or they greatly restrict it.
So if that's the case, you're an officer of Humboldt County, but you're also an officer of the state.
Right.
Okay. That sounds as screwed up as when the DOJ comes to town and you don't know if, you know, are they going to do the same things that you are doing or are they going to come in and play to a different drumbeat entirely?
Well, and
because those standards aren't
and
codified.
That's the whole rub to the issue is the fact that there is no standardized procedure or amount or anything. There needs to be something statewide as this is what is acceptable, this is what is not, instead of leaving it up to each county to make a decision because then you have nothing but confusion.
So why isn't the state – or why is the state so reluctant?
Well, you give me an answer.
Oh, I see.
Give me an – I don't know.
I see. This will be discussion during the break. I'll see if I can come up with a good idea. KINS News – well, that we can repeat. KINS News and Information, it's 342. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information, Times 345. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Couldn't solve it during the break.
No.
We're going to have to
continue. I thought you'd have a great answer, but you didn't. I rejected all of them.
Rather resoundingly, too. Yeah. Thank you very much. So as you're looking at this stuff, Mike, and you're trying to figure out and to get uniform as in everybody doing the same thing, not camos.
Right.
Uniform support and uniform implementation of something. Is it hurting cats? I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be that tough for a statewide initiative to say, okay, this is how we're determining it.
They don't want to touch it. They don't want to deal with it. It's like burying your head in the sand.
Well, you know what that exposes.
Yeah, exactly. And again, it's not the current legislature. You have to go back 19 years. There's 19 years
of inaction. How about Fish and Game saying, this is what, you know, we're seeing it in the water, we're seeing it in the hills, we're seeing it.
The evidence
air
is
quality.
In.
Yep. Why not have those guys step up? They seem to be autonomous and a whole bunch of stuff and just kind of do things.
The evidence is in. It's there. I mean, I don't know what else you need, but they're reluctant to come up with any type of statewide legislation. That's all I'm asking for.
Could this be lobbying money running counter to it?
I don't know. That's a good
question. I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist or any of that kind of
stuff. Sure you do.
Nah, well, because most times those things are goofy. But, you know, if you follow dollars, it would certainly seem to make sense that there's some roadblock that's there. And I don't think it's a lack of willingness, because you got enough redneck legislators that they're going to at least put it out in each session. And maybe it gets traction. Maybe it doesn't. But at least it's being discussed. From what I understand from you and the guys before you, nobody's talking about it anywhere.
No. I hear very little talk. In fact, it's just recently in the last couple of years that I've even been approached by any of the legislators to come forward on this issue. I might be speaking to some additional people next week. In fact, Senator McGuire asked if he could set up a time when he could bring bring some of his colleagues up to go into a site after we're done, so they can actually see what's going on. Because
you want to do me a favor?
Yeah.
After you do that, take them to one of the homeless camps on the bay.
All right.
You know, I mean, we may as well shoot the moon, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go. I think
you bring him back into town anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the heck?
So, but, yeah.
So these guys, do you think they've even been in the woods, or they've seen any of this stuff?
I don't think so. I've never had. I'm trying to think back. I've never had a legislator, senator, or assemblyman go into a grow site with any of my people. But it looks as though
even Chesbro when he was there.
Wes may have in the past years, but I'd have to do some research on that. Yeah,
I mean,
Wes was aware of what was going on. I mean, he saw the photos. I think he was a voice, but a voice down a long tunnel that no one was really listening to on this issue. I think he had our best interests at heart. But
so what's turned it?
I think what's turned it is the fact that we're looking at 2016. There's a lot of people out there predicting that this initiative, that whatever it is that's brought forward, will pass. Whether it does or not, I don't know. It probably won't pass in Humboldt County, but it may pass. And everyone knows why it may not pass, because it hasn't passed in Humboldt County before. So I don't know. But now it is at the forefront. I think it is the environmental component that's making everybody wake up and go, we've got issues, we've got to do something about it. And I think that's where we're at.
Well, it'll be interesting to see you on the national news in about a year.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to play out.
Right.
Because this thing is, if California does it, others will topple.
Right.
But to see what those impacts are and to try to get some kind of regulatory climate around this stuff.
Yeah.
If cows have it, why not marijuana?
I've heard predictions that, you know, there's been two initiatives in the last 8 years that have gone before the California voters for some type of legalization, and both of them have failed. And I've heard projections or predictions that if a third one fails, you probably won't see it on the ballot in California for 10 years because, you know, the third time's, you know, a charm type of thing.
At some point you wake up and say, huh,
it's not going to pass.
This hurts.
Yeah, because there's a lot of money being put into that.
Oh, we can only hope. Thanks for coming by, Mike. Thank you. Oh, we've been talking shop this afternoon with Mike Downey. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you.